Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Lou.
Lou.
Christina.
Well, at any rate, this is the Freedom Fiends
broadcasting
from Pod Bay 2A.
Pod Bay 2A. A mile
above sea level. Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus, Aurelius. That is something in your brain by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel the spirit of the fiends moving through you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license.
What's that?
This allows reuse by anyone except governments.
There they are. Hey,
learn more at bipcot.org.
Buffering hard. Lou's buffering hard at bipcot.org. Man, you and your orgies. You ever been in an orgy? Hi, Diana. This is Michael
Dean. Hey, Michael
Dean. Have you been in an orgy? I have.
No, I haven't.
Oh, is that still on your
lame to-do list? I'm lame. It's on my bucket list.
Man.
Possibly.
Wow. Lou, you there? Are you buffering hard?
Lou's been droned.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
And now he's back. He's back from the dead.
You there, Lou? Lou.
I'm here. Cool. But here's the thing. As I was gone, I was listening to you guys.
Yeah.
So I was still getting the feed. I just
That's
it was
weird.
Me that was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like
it's one way. It was a one way three way.
Yeah. It's like a one way droning.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, I'm here.
Hey, Lou.
Woo!
Yay! Cock-a-doodle-loo!
Yay! Yeah. I am very relaxed today. Do you know why?
Why?
I'm freaking tired. I've been up all day and I need some sleep. No, Liberty Fest is right around the corner.
Yep.
I'm heading out tomorrow. I'll be part of the
what is that,
the setup crew.
Tell us about that.
Liberty Fest? Well, it's how could I put it? It's a little slice of heaven here on Earth.
Yeah.
That sound about right, Diana? You've been there a couple times.
Yeah, I have. And I'll
this
be
is your third.
This will be my third. And this time I'm driving, instead of driving, I guess, from North Carolina. I'm not even sure how long it took me from North Carolina, but
North
it's going to take. North Kakalaki. It's going to take me 18 hours. to drive there from here. And I'm actually dropping by Kansas City to pick up two people I've never met in real life.
Oh, cool.
Which should
Who
be interesting. Richard Dalton, I think is his last name. And his friend, and I just we just became Facebook friends today. His name's Jeff, and I can't remember his last name. But anyway, it should be interesting, to say the least.
So you're meeting new people.
Yeah, of course.
You're riding with strangers.
I know.
If I don't see you by Friday night at 8 p.m., who should I call?
Cell 411.
Cell 411. There you go. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I have about probably a 9-hour drive from Michigan to the other part of Michigan because I am way up in Bear Saskatchewan.
From Michigan to Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people say, well, why don't you just go through Chicago and in Wisconsin and everything? And it's even longer to go that way.
Yeah.
But my hippies, Jason and Mary, it's like a 5-minute difference for them to go up to the Mackinac Bridge and then head west, or for them to go through Chicago. Thank you very much, Michael. That's wonderful.
Sorry.
Radio.
Sorry.
I thought my hippies lived right near
my
there.
Hippies.
Circle. Yeah, Delton.
They do. Yeah,
oh,
they
okay.
do.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But from where, from the little town that they live, or the little hippie commune that they live on, it's just a couple minutes difference going either way.
Ah, I see. Interesting.
So, yeah.
Trying to picture that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I will get out there early because we try to get the big tent set up and get a couple other things in place, and then somebody has to dig the foxholes, fill the sandbags for the machine gun nests.
Who will dig the, without the government, who will dig the machine gun foxholes nests?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lou, guess who else I'm bringing besides
Roxy.
Besides a friend of mine from Denver and two strangers? Roxy!
Yeah, Roxy! Who's the friend from Denver that you're bringing?
Dave. Dave Driscoll.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Has he been there before? Have I met him?
Yeah. Yeah. He was there last year.
Last year? Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, okay. So I got to be somewhere, everybody. I'm going to interrupt here, and you guys can spend. I'm going to talk for 5 minutes, and you guys can spend the next 2 hours talking about how great it's going to be. So the name of tonight's shows is Faith Without Worms is Dead, just because I like that. And I just have an update on Bitcoin. I'm working right now to release the next version of it for the CLI wallets, Linux and Windows. It's going to maybe fix some of those problems created by that horrible pool, but really just time will probably take care of that. The errors we're still getting from that horrible mining pool that was misconfigured and split off into its own block that was like 65 blocks ahead of us.
Oh, wow.
Someone backing that butt up there.
I heard something.
Butt up.
Back it up.
Okay, so Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency that the Freedom Fiends built, and with Freedom Fiends with Brian Gordon, and can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. And the great news, other than there's going to be an update in a couple hours here, is that, and you know, if you're listening to this in the morning, it's there. The GUI wallet's not updated till a week or two from now, but the CLI wallets are updating. And like, those are running on our seed nodes, which will help things a little bit too, help deal with errors. But somebody started a block explorer, which we need. It's kind of like, you know, when you go on Bitcoin and like, let's see what that transaction was. Although with, and you need that to get on an exchange, which eventually we hope to get on with Bitcoin. And this person built a new mining pool too. And this is not like the guy who built the mining pool that was misconfigured and broke everything was some guy. The guy who built this mining pool is a guy who, and that guy had never done a crypto note one. He's only done Bitcoin derived ones. Trying to get a word in there? I feel you. Yeah.
No, I was I was listening.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was okay. I was maybe breathing. I don't know.
Stop breathing, Diana. What are you wearing? Do you know the new answer for that?
No.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Yes.
Lady Laugh Track. Okay, so the other Bitcoin update is I'm not going to pimp this pool yet until like everything's run without splitting a blockchain for 12 hours or more. You know, because we can see it. We compare the block height in our wallets to the block height on his block on his block explorer and his pool. I hear it again. Lou's backing up. I hear it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I hear it too.
That's huge news. Like, there is a pool that works, but I'm not giving it out yet for about 24 hours at least, or you know, 12 to 24 hours, just to test and like wake up tomorrow and make sure nothing's broken. And then I will pimp it hard and wide. The other thing is, I need some Bitcoin donations to give this guy to help keep it running. Like, he did all the work to build it, but we need some money to pay him for just servers to keep it running for a year or two because it costs a lot to run server time for block explorers. They're very, and pools, it's very memory intensive and hardware intensive. And so,
right. If you don't donate, you'll set Liberty back 2,000 years.
25. You'll set Liberty back 65 blocks. you know, that should really maybe be the name. Now I'll just tweet that. So, okay. So donate. I mean, right now, like I want this tonight. So if anybody can, or like during the break, if you can go to the Freedom Fiends, go on the right side, scroll down. There's a big Bitcoin logo there. Click on that. It's got our address. Send it to me. I'm going to, you know, 4 hours from now, I'm going to take whatever there is and immediately send it all to these people to thank them for doing this.
Cool.
It puts a donation in the wallet or it gets a hose again.
I like that. Yeah, that's
or.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, I know that one's going to end up in out of context.
Out of context beans, yeah.
That was pretty good.
It puts the carbon taxes in the basket, or he gets the Johnson again.
I saw that. That's funny, too. Yeah, the thing about out of context fiends is it's not really out of context fiends. It's in context funny things the fiend said. What is peeping?
Oh, I was just having dirty thoughts, and my microwave is censoring me. That's why it's not real loud, because I'm not saying it out loud.
So. All right.
I have a pot roast in the microwave that I reheated. Pot. And
you can get your door kicked in because you said, I've got pot. That's all. And then, like, roast. You know, there's probably some static after that, so they didn't hear the roast.
Well, it's not. Well, just like kindergarten, I did not bring enough for everybody.
So. Lou, it's good to
You're
hear
supposed
you.
To in kindergarten. You're supposed to bring enough for everyone.
You bring
Man.
It.
Man.
Did you bring everybody in the Soviet Union? The store has gone.
Man. Man, Lou is buffering hard. Lou, are you like, are your neighbors tapping into your Wi-Fi or something? Or are you downloading some torrents? Are you mining? You're not mining Bitcoin while doing a show, are you? I don't even hear him. What?
No. Oh,
huh? What's happening?
I'm even wired.
You're wired?
I'm wired. Yeah. So I'm not even,
I don't know.
I'm not even on
Michigan.
Wi-Fi.
It's just Michigan. It's Michigan internet. Anyway, tell us something else, Lou.
Gear porn. I have the Zoom H2. So you made a comment earlier about the number of something special.
Oh, man. You're buffering so hard there, Lou. I don't know what to do. Hey, Lou. Yeah.
I'm going to reboot.
You reboot. We'll talk to you during the break. So, Diana, what are you hearing?
Freedom.
Freedom. That's the new answer. If any guy ever says to you, what are you wearing? Freedom. And by the way, taxation is theft.
Is theft.
Yeah. I have a new saying. You know, they say Google voluntarism. I wonder who came up with that. I mean, that is like everywhere. And it's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. I'm not sure.
I want people to Google gain staging. That's how you get good audio.
Game staging?
Gain staging.
Yeah. Gain staging. Okay.
Yeah, that's part of it. No, right. Game staging is, you know, there's no Native American word for cheating. They get a card game, so they call it game weasel. Game weasel.
Oh, okay.
In their native tongue. All right.
Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick and tired of peaceful people being banned from so-called liberty events? How about Liberty Festivals that are more regulated than a government housing area? Now you can do something about it. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the 4th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Friday, August 26th through Monday the 29th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. There will be canoeing, kayaking, hiking, fishing, swimming, presentations, discussions, and bacon. Lots of bacon. This event is both adult and family-friendly, and best of all, no overbearing central planners. There will be free Freedom Fiends and Bipcop merch while supplies last. And don't forget the longer leashes for the Bow Wows and Woof Woofs. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest.org.
Real quick, before we get into this, I was in Austin this past weekend, and have you heard of the record store Waterloo Records? I don't know.
No, I've heard of Magnolia Thunder Pussy Records in Columbus, Ohio, and I've done an in-store with my band Bomb there.
Well, anyway, so I looked high and low for a Bomb album.
Mostly
while I was
high.
There. Yeah, no, I was with my family, but. I looked for a Bomb album while I was there. Kept looking, looked in the used, I mean, everywhere, and couldn't
looked
find
in the
one,
where are they now file.
And there, I know, right? And there was actually a guy there that was wearing a hat that said Bomb something, and all I saw was Bomb, and I was like, oh my God, it's a Bomb hat. No, it wasn't just a Bomb hat. No,
Bomb Squad.
Hey, Lou, you're back.
Hey, Lou.
So here's the plan, Lou. I was just going to stay on until you come back. I actually won't stay on because Lou might have better internet luck if I'm not connected. There also might be somebody else jumping on at some point. I sent out an all-points bulletin to the fiends if they're not all, like, you know, passed out on Crocodile on a pile of training hookers and cats. But here's the plan, Lou. I'm going to leave you guys alone. And if you get, like, this may turn into the Laughing Kitty show debut if Lou gets thrown permanently, because I gave Diana the idea to pull up The Constitution of No Authority by Spooner, and every time Lou gets droned, she's just going to read from it. Although you guys might just do a back and forth popcorn read of it. But so Diana, I hope Lou doesn't get droned, but if he does, you can spread your little legs and fly. Have a good time. And Lou, I'm glad to have you back, man. I'm gonna jump off. Worms.
Worms.
I might drone myself just to hear that read.
Take extra long breaks and take a while coming back from the bathroom.
The highwayman takes solely upon himself the dangerous responsibility.
I think you guys should read it. I think you should do a live audiobook. You want me to send you the link, Lou? I got it right here.
You think I don't already have it?
You think I haven't memorized it?
All of my animals, with the exception of my rabbit, are like either on me or trying to get on me right now.
Yeah, you're high on Crocodile under a pile of cats and bunnies and tranny hookers. Man. Wow.
Yeah, they wait until I'm busy doing something. Roxy, come on now. I've got a cat in my lap already.
All right, kids.
So in other words, you're getting ready for Liberty Fest already.
Right. Pretty much. I plan on having lots of animals in my lap while I'm there.
Oh, gosh. I'm not even going to touch that one.
I know. Anyway. All right. So you're back. What's different this time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this will be your third, correct?
Yes.
So you haven't been to all of them like I have. Yeah, you know, just bragging a little bit there.
and they started when?
4 years ago.
Oh, okay. So 2012?
No, actually 2013.
Okay.
Actually, it would be technically 3 years ago.
Okay, so then you've only been to one more than I've been to.
Right. Right. But I've been to all four.
Okay. And you live in Michigan.
Yes.
So you have no excuse not to be there.
Oh, yeah, I do. because I have such a long drive to get there.
Right. And yeah, okay. Well,
but anyway, Michael asked me earlier to explain Liberty Fest, and for the libertarians, anarchists, voluntarists out there, everybody with more brains than a min statist, it's our community. We spend a lot of time talking about how things would work in LibPair. We theorize of how disputes would be settled and who would build the machine gun nests and who would cook the bacon and everything else. And what a weekend like this, and I'll even include Pork Fest in this, because for the most part, once you get away from like the big tents and everything else.
And the pork rangers.
Yeah. Yeah. And the pork rangers. Going around
pork rangers to the rescue.
Yeah. Once you get away from the concern trolls, it's a very spontaneous type thing. It's people getting together and associating or not associating, whatever it is. And it's
free associating.
It's one of those times where you could really practice what you theorized and preached about on Facebeast and in the Twitters and all this other nonsense.
Sounds awesome. Can't wait.
So quit talking about it. Do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just we'll do it. Back. There's gonna be a lot of new people there. Which is awesome.
Yes, it is.
And a much more structured schedule than years past, I think.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin. Bitcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bitcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bitcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bitcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bitcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bitcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bitcoin.org. That's Bitcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Woof, woof.
Cock-a-doodle-loo.
Twas the night before Liberty Fest, and all through the house, the creature was stirring, not even a teenager with a funny-looking gaming mouse. The bacon was hung from the assault kitchen with care, in hopes that the dear sweet bacon emperor soon would be there. That's
awesome.
All I got.
What, just off the top of your head, just like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I expect more of that at Liberty Fest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be plenty of bacon hanging from the assault kitchen. Matter of fact, the assault kitchen is locked and loaded right now, and I think everybody should be open carrying their assault kitchen at Liberty Fest. Matter of fact, don't just do it at Liberty Fest. Open carry your assault kitchen everywhere, and make sure that you have the shoulder thing up.
The shoulder thing up?
Yeah, because there's a shoulder thing that goes up. Make sure it's up, because that's when it's the most assaulty.
Okay.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Right. Yeah. I don't have a shoulder thing.
Why not? You don't even have an assault kitchen.
That's true. Yeah. So I guess it necessitates an assault kitchen to have a shoulder thing.
Pretty much. And I have an addition to the assault kitchen. I have the assault camper.
Oh, are you bringing your camper?
Yes, I am.
I'm so excited to see your camper. Oh, my gosh.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I haven't used it nearly as much as I had hoped to this summer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've only used it like once since Porkfest, mm-hmm. which is kind of surprising.
Right. Did you go fishing?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But what's really neat is I'm trying to cram stuff into the bed of the truck, and it's like, oh my God, how do I fit all this stuff? How do I fit all this stuff? Mm-hmm. And it's like, really, I don't have to put anything back there. I did, but I don't really have to. The only thing that I would really need to put back there would be my kayak.
Oh, are you bringing your kayak too?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. You know, yeah. I read on the on the Liberty Fest website, Midwest Liberty Fest.org. Is that the website?
MPL Fest.
MPL Fest. Okay. All right. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I was reading that the Circle Pine Center policies, and it was saying that I couldn't bring Roxy to the beach. And I've done it like the last 2 years, and no one ever said anything. So I don't know. Like, it seems like there's rules there that I haven't seen before.
Right. And congratulations on confessing.
What?
You just confessed to a Circle Pines misdemeanor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well.
Did you at least have her
well
on the
behaved.
Proper... Oh, I know she is. She's a little sweetie pie.
Yeah. What were we going to say?
Did you have her on a regulation leash?
I had her on a leash. No idea if it's regulation or not. It's I don't know. It's like 5.5 feet or something like that. But
normally the requirement is a 6-foot leash. So
yeah.
you're being more governmenty than the government. That, you're so status to your dog.
Yeah, I guess some would say that, definitely. I have qualms about letting her off leash because she tends to disappear and doesn't come when I call her, and I completely lose it over that and freak out, and it terrifies me. So I would hate to lose her. And I have a feeling because she's a rescue, and I have a feeling that that was how she ended up as a stray, is that she just disappeared, and her original owners couldn't find her. So, yeah. Anyway.
So she escaped.
She's my baby.
But she escaped.
From
her previous humans.
Yeah, but I'm quite certain that I'm a much better human than her previous humans.
Well, if she disappears and winds up, if she disappears and winds up here in Bear Skagit, she didn't like you anymore. She liked me better.
Well, you know what? If you can teach her to hunt, and then return her to me, I would be ever so grateful.
I'm sure I could do about half of that.
So teach her to hunt, but not return her to me.
Exactly. So, do you have like one of those retractable leeches that?
Oh heck no! Uh-uh.
That you just like push a button and the leash goes from like long leash to like choke collar.
Yeah, I don't like those. I don't like those very much at all. They tend to get all tangled up, and I don't know. I just don't like them.
Yeah, but they're like mint statism leashes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll let her off leash. Are the Ritters, are they bringing their dog? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because you remember that first year because I brought Roxy the first year and they had so much fun chasing each other, or like Roxy would let, I can't remember what's their dog's name.
Sophie,
that's right. Sophie would chase Roxy around the bonfire pit. She would try, and Roxy would slow down and let her catch up, and then she'd speed up again. It was super cute.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're bringing Sophie with them, because I think they've been traveling for the week prior to Liberty Fest.
Okay.
But also, I think Sophie's been too much trouble misbehaving.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's like half Ewok, half hamster.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
as far as dogs go, not a very good one, in my opinion.
Aww.
But I did find the way to get her to quiet down and quit barking at me. Knife on.
Oh, how was that? How'd you do that? Okay. Lou, you there? All right. You there?
The knife.
Okay, yeah. You disappeared for a second there.
I pull a knife on the dog. Hello?
I'm here. Yeah. I missed that whole thing that you just said. Lou? All righty. Well, looks like it's just me, the Laughing Kitty, for now. Lou's been droned, and...
Bulldog.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're buffering hard, Fiend Lou. Phone. Buffering Fiend hard.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
No treason.
Can you...
Number six. The Constitution of No Authority.
Can you... You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, you're going in and out a little bit, though.
Okay.
So.
All right, pull a knife on the dog. That's how I get her to behave.
Oh, okay. All right.
I guess the NSA did not want that secret out there. That's how you get dogs.
Lou?
Stop it barking and be on them.
Yeah. Yes. So no treason, number six, the Constitution of No Authority. One, and this is by Lysander Spooner. The Constitution has no inherent authority or obligation. It has no authority or obligation at all, unless as a contract between
Fiend
man
phone.
And man.
Fiend phone.
And it does not so much as even purport to be a contract between persons now existing. It purports at most to be only a contract between persons living 80 years ago. When this was written, obviously. And it can be supposed to have been a contract then only between persons who had already come to years of discretion so as to be competent and to make reasonable and obligatory contracts. Furthermore, we know, historically, that only a small portion even of the people then existing were consulted on the subject or asked or permitted to express either their consent or dissent in any formal manner. Those persons, if any, who did give their consent formally are all dead now. You there, Lou?
I'm here.
Okay.
They deserve to be.
Yeah. Most of them have been dead 40, 50, 60, or 70 years. And the Constitution, so far as it was their contract, it died with them. Ooh, that's a really scary thing to say. They had no natural power or right to make it obligatory upon their children. It is not only plainly impossible in the nature of things that they could bind their posterity, but they did not even attempt to bind them. That is to say, the instrument does not purport to be an agreement between anybody but the people then existing, nor does it either expressly or impliedly assert any right, power, or disposition on their part to bind anybody but themselves. Let us see. Its language is... You have this up, Lou?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I rarely just listen to you because you do such a great job.
We the people of the United States, that is the people then existing.
The people.
Schoolhouse Rock, man. That's how I learned this a long time ago. That is the people then existing in the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And the
next, those who are trying to secure liberty, if they create a government, they're doing it wrong. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't be sorry. It's the truth, man. Hashtag truth.
Okay, so we're in chapter 6?
Yeah, chapter 6. It is plain in the first place that this language as an agreement purports to be only what it at most really was, viz. A contract between the people then existing and of necessity binding as a contract only upon those then existing. In the second place, the language neither expresses nor implies that they had any right or power to bind their posterity to live under it. It does not say that their posterity will, shall, or must live under it. It only says, in effect, that their hopes and motives in adopting it or that it might prove useful to their posterity as well as to themselves by promoting their union, safety, tranquility, liberty, etc.
Epic fail.
And
we'll be right back.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America. You sound angry. Angry dog. Murder dog.
Not murder dog, just like assault dog.
Assault dog.
Yeah. Just felonious assault. not even felonious assault. More like intimidation and, you know, barking, yelling, stuff like that.
You are a little intimidating. Actually.
Really?
Not really.
Okay, good.
Kind of, sort of. Like, if I didn't know you, I would think you would be.
Really? Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know, because you can seem stern at times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your point?
exactly, like that.
I've actually heard that a few times, but yeah. Deep down, I'm a nice, gentle person and stuff like that. Just
I believe
don't
that.
Piss me off.
Well, right. Me off. Yeah, just don't. Yeah, don't cross me, dude.
Yeah. So, are you going to go back to reading Spooner, or do you want to talk more about Liberty Fest?
whichever, like, well, I don't know, however you want to roll with this. Sounds like you're doing fine. You're not buffering as hard as before. So, I don't know. Let's see. What else can we talk about with Liberty Fest? Okay, I want a little preview about your workshop on fly fishing. I'm kind of interested in that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm doing two workshops Friday evening. Hopefully you'll be there by then. I think it's at 7 p.m. down at the beach. I will be doing a presentation on fly fishing. And the reason being is there's a lot of people that had expressed an interest in learning about fly fishing, but they'd never done it. So I'm bringing a couple of my fly rods and some of my equipment down, and I'm going to explain to people the different types of flies that you have out there, like the difference between wet flies and dry flies, and the times to use each and things like that. I'm also going to go into the technique of casting a fly line, and that is probably the most difficult part of it, because it's not like regular fishing where if you're using a spinning rod, you just whip the line out there as far as you can, or whip it out to, I don't know, I guess maybe aim it, but in general, people just fire it on out there and then retrieve it. With this, there's, what's the best way to describe it? You're actually controlling the line, and you're using the rod, but it's definitely a finesse type thing. So
yeah.
you don't whip the rod back and forth,
right?
Because that's the easiest way to mess it all up. So it is very gentle. You mm-hmm. do have to have the gentle touch and use mm-hmm. the finesse, and it's, I do pretty good with the fly rod. I will generally catch more fish on the fly rod than most people will with live bait or with other lures.
Interesting. And so are there specific types of fish that you would generally fish for when you're fly fishing, or just whatever happens to be out there?
Well, on a lake like that, it's probably going to be a bunch of panfish, like the bluegills and sunfish, and maybe the occasional perch, something like that. Mm-hmm. There's also smallmouth bass in there. I don't know about largemouth. I don't think there's any northern pike in there. But you can use flies for just about any type of fish, and you can even go fly fishing in the ocean.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I've seen it done more often probably in, like, rivers.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I've seen. Like, I don't know very much about it. My ex-husband was into it very briefly. I guess maybe he just, I don't know. He bought all the gear and everything and just kind of did it once or twice, and that was it.
So in other words, he couldn't get the hang of it.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, he won't be the first.
Yeah.
So you can fly fish on the rivers. You can fly fish out on lakes too. I mean, mm-hmm. I fly fish from a boat quite frequently, so
yeah,
there's no rules to say that you can't, and right. It's easy enough. You might have a hard time on some rivers if they're really narrow and there's a lot of tag elders and bushes and all that other stuff along the edge. You'll get tangled up pretty bad.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So, anyway, we will be back in the second hour, and I will talk about some of the other things that are going to be going on there.
Yay! Worms.
Come to Liberty Fest. Meet Diana, yeah. The Laughing Kitty.
I might read some Spooner for you, baby.
Yeah. Will you be doing a live read around the campfire?
I could. I don't know. Depends on how much I imbibe.
I'm actually bringing beer.
You are. Yay. Yeah,
I got some local stuff called Grand Rabbits.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Let's see if I can get through this without This is a Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Governments.
Yuck.
Grody.
Yeah.
Speaking of Alpha Centauri, a FEE article came across my feed tonight, FEE, Foundation for Economic Education.org, and it's a little bit of a talking about Proxima B, aliens horrified by spectacle of U.S. presidential race. Thought it was pretty cute. So Proxima Centauri is in the same general, I guess, proximity as Alpha Centauri, and it's actually the closest star to us. And the article goes on, it says, it was confirmed today that scientists have discovered the people of Proxima B, the small rocky planet orbiting Proxima Centauri, the closest star to Earth, are sick and tired of the traumatic barrage of news concerning the two awful people running for the U.S. presidency. Well, check it out. The natives of planet Proxima B, which orbits a faint red dwarf star, were among the first extraterrestrials to received radio transmissions emanating from the Earth. For decades, they've watched happenings on Earth with great interest and care toward humankind. Proximian kindergarten teacher, G. Laxar, an active follower of current events as well as the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother, admitted to some interest in how human leaders propose tackling issues such as conflict in the Middle East and progressive tax policy, but found the candidates' views unimaginative and rhetoric uninspiring. All these people talk about all day long is themselves and how they are the solution for all Earthlings' problems, screamed Jalaxer at a frequency beyond hearing range for humans. Between this Obama and Romney, I don't see how it could get any worse, she said while being barraged by X-ray flares. Proxima B, a mere 4.2 light years from Earth, receives transmissions from Earth roughly 4 years after they are sent. For some reason, they put themselves through this torturous and unproductive exercise every 4 years, said shopkeeper Ichslap. I can't imagine Americans selecting a pair any less qualified than this to protect individual liberty. They surely hit rock bottom. And this was written by Richard Lawrence. I'm not sure quite sure how to pronounce his name, but he's the chief operating officer of FEE and publisher of The Free Man. But I thought that was cute, especially when it gets to the point where if you don't catch the fact that it takes 4 years for transmissions to reach Proxima Centauri, then. You don't realize that she's actually talking about Obama and Romney until it gets toward the end. But
right,
yeah.
Well, also saying how I met your mother.
Yeah, how I met your mother. Yeah, and
that's been gone for a while, right?
I think it's been gone for a little while, but yeah, it was on. I'm not even sure when it started. And I've seen a few episodes of that. It's actually pretty cute. But
I watched it early on, but it did the 90210 thing where the like casts started trading each other around back and forth.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That kind of incest thing.
Yeah. and when I say the cast, I mean the characters. I don't think that they were trading each other.
Oh, right.
In real
life. Yeah. Especially since the guy, I'm not sure what the character's name, but Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like definitely not a big ladies man in real life.
Right.
So, anywho, all right. So, so in addition to the fly fishing, you're also gonna teach people how to start fires, right? Fire.
Yes.
Fire. Fire.
Yes.
Fire.
Yes.
Are you a pyromaniac, Lou? Is that what you are?
You can't prove that. Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. No. If you remember, the Free Rangers group was kind of hatched on the Freedom Fiends. Mm-hmm. You remember Tom, our buddy Tom, he had posted in the MPLC group and says, hey, what would you think about a group that did scouting type stuff, but without all the statism, uniforms, and high-priced candy and popcorn? And I was doing a weekend show at the time, and I said, hey, here's an interesting thing. Tell me what you think of this. I think Ben was on, and maybe Michael or somebody else. I can't remember who exactly was on. But anyway, like less than 24 hours later, well, actually, I think before the end of the show, there was a Facebook group set up and maybe a website started.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and here in Michigan, there were a couple of meetups to do classes. One of them was land navigation, so reading a compass and reading maps and shooting an azimuth, things like that. Very, very good skills to have. As a matter of fact, I was out hunting with Paul a couple of years ago out at his mother-in-law's place, and I'd never been out there before. And it snowed during the day while we were out hunting, so our tracks got covered up a little bit. And then also, it was dark, so I that and the fact that I didn't know where in the heck I was, I actually had to use I had to do it old school. I had to use a compass to get back to get back out of the woods.
Wow.
But anyway, the
impressive.
The
one,
I thought so. Otherwise, I might still be out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the weather's nice now, so it wouldn't be too bad. Maybe a few too many mosquitoes. But anyway, so what I will be doing is a Free Rangers improvised fire starting. And this is for when they're out camping or let's say they're on a backpacking trip. Because when you're backpacking, you know, you can't carry all that stuff with you. So you have to you have to carry as little as humanly possible. So I'm going to show them how to use cotton balls as tinder and use a magnesium striker. And it's, I mean, it's not like you can carry a newspaper with you in your backpack with all your other stuff. So we're going to mess around with that and look at how to build a campfire, you know, both for pleasure and for emergency. And I think we're going to learn a little bit about cooking over a fire too. So I think
I think
we're going to break out some cast iron and do a little cooking.
Yeah. A couple of weekends ago, I went backpacking. Just for the weekend. Person I was with was able to start a fire with very little. I was actually pretty dang impressed by that and actually very grateful because it was freezing. It was up in the mountains here in Colorado. So, yeah.
Okay. So were you on a backpacking camping trip?
Yeah.
Okay, so you hiked out to your campsite, and the only thing you had with you was what you could carry.
Yep.
And
I've done it actually several times before, in my past life, but I hadn't done it in a while. I love stuff like that. It's really fun. It was hard, but it was fun.
Before you were reincarnated as Diana.
No, this was like when I was with my ex, and we went camping a lot. So my ex-husband, and we went camping a lot, and we did a few backpacking trips and everything too with my daughter, which was really fun. She wasn't too thrilled with it, being away from all her creature comforts, but I think she appreciated it. She definitely learned some good skills, like how to filter water for one.
I just put a little water filtration thing. It's like a mini straw type deal. You can attach a water bottle, or it has a little bag that it comes with. And it's supposed to be, I'm not sure if it's gallons or liters, because it'll take care of an awful lot of water, I suspect.
Yeah. Kind of missed that whole thing.
You didn't hear me?
Yeah, it was buffering pretty bad. Yeah.
Okay. I just picked up a water filtration system. It's a little, like, I can't remember what it was called. It's like a straw type deal, except you can attach it to a bag and squeeze water out of the bag, or you can put it on a water bottle and drink out of there.
Right.
Or also, I think, a camel pack. But anyway, yeah, it's just a little attachment. It's supposed to filter out like 100,000 gallons or 100,000 liters of water. Either way, it's an awful lot of water.
Cool. Yeah. Those types of things are definitely necessary for survival in particular in the wilderness. And it was funny because we were seeing people walking in as we were leaving. And I mean, I'm talking about a wilderness area. Like, I mean, it's the weather can change at the drop of a hat. You just don't know. And people were walking in with basically nothing, no jacket, no water, no nothing, you know? And it was just like, dude, you don't realize how quickly things can change out here. And, mm-hmm. You'd kind of be, like SOL.
Well, what's the longest backpacking trip that you've done? Time wise and then distance.
Let's see, 5 days. Which when you think about, people that say hike the Appalachian Trail and everything, I mean, they're out there can be out there for months. Yeah. That's very minimal. I don't know, 5 days. That was a pretty long time for me to go without a shower. I was really grateful for a shower when we were done. I'm not exactly sure the distance. We probably hiked 8 to 10 miles a day while we were out there. So, it was fun. It was partly on the Appalachian Trail as well. It was in Virginia, and it was absolutely beautiful there.
Okay. Have you seen... there's a movie, Robert Redford and Nick Nolte, I think it is. I believe it's called A Walk in the Woods.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, it's a couple of old codgers that, I think Redford's actually in his 80s now, but they decide that
he just turned 80.
That they're going to do the Appalachian Trail, and it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll be back. We'll talk some more about that after his trip to the market.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Woof, woof, woof.
Meow, meow.
So during the break, you were telling me about an interesting occurrence that happened on the hiking trip.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was having my monthly visitor.
No, I was talking about when your daughter had to go like number two, and you had to dig the hole. But I think thanks for talking about Aunt Flo coming to town.
Yeah, I was like surfing the red wave.
So anyway.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, that was just my luck. You know, that just was what happened. And, I was kind of halfway expecting it too. But it's a little inconvenient when you're out there in the wilderness.
Yep.
Especially when, you want to leave no trace and you got to pack it all out and you got to make sure it's all, hermetically sealed, essentially, so that you're not attracting bears and whatnot. My daughter, poor little thing, she was trying to think of how old she was at the time, like 8 or 9. And I had to go number two in the middle of the night.
She was like 8 or 9, and you took her on a long hiking trip?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Something wrong with that?
I'm usually... Young kids that age, they don't usually do that well on those things.
She might have been a little older. I can't remember the year exactly that particular trip was, but she did great. We didn't make her carry too much, and she She actually got into it. She, you know, like I said earlier, she wasn't thrilled about it. It was during her spring break, and that was the last thing she wanted to be doing on her spring break. But yeah, anyway, we made her go. It's like we're going, you're going. So, but yeah, in the middle of the night and had to go out, and it was really cold and the ground was really hard because it was cold, and you know, and you have to go kind of far away from your tent when you do that. And yeah, so it was yeah, not pleasant. But you do what you gotta do. You there? Have you been droned? Okay. All right. So it sounds like we're going to go back to reading a little more Spooner. And where I left off was, let's see, suppose an agreement were entered into this form. We, the people of Boston, agree to maintain a fort on Governor's Island.
Fiend phone.
To protect ourselves and our posterity against invasion. This agreement, as an agreement, would clearly bind nobody but the people then existing. Secondly, it would assert no right, power, or disposition on their part to compel their posterity to maintain such a fort. It would only indicate that the supposed welfare of their posterity was one of the motives that induced the original parties to enter into the agreement. And sounds like you're...
I didn't sign that social contract.
Sounds like Lou has resurrected. Yeah.
So anyway, I was saying before you started quoting the old dead guy, there's a couple,
the old guy.
Couple trails up here that I'd like to hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the postal carrier. Well, not postal carrier. Because you do know that he had his own beat against the post office, and because he was kicking their butts.
Yeah, you were buffering, and I missed most of that.
Reboot.
Okay, can you try repeating it, Lou?
Go back to reading. I'm going to reboot the fiend phone.
All right, sounds good. When a man says he is building a house for himself and his posterity, he does not mean to be understood as saying that he has only thought of binding them, nor is it to be inferred that he is so foolish as to imagine that he has any right or power to bind them to live in it. So far as they are concerned, he only means to be understood as saying that his hopes and motives in building it are that they, or at least some of them, may find it for their happiness to live in it. So when a man says he is planting a tree for himself and his posterity, he does not mean to be understood as saying that he has any thought of compelling them. Nor is it to be inferred that he is such a simpleton as to imagine that he has any right or power to compel them to eat the fruit. So far as they are concerned, he only means to say that his hopes and motives in planting the tree are that its fruit may be agreeable to them. So, you know, talking about any kind of force here, you know, it's just like, if you want it, you can have it. But, you know, we're not trying to force you.
Freedom Fiends. And we'll with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence, or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with agoristhosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
Fiends.
Yes, we are. Both of us.
Yay.
I'm back, right? Can you hear
yep.
me? Can you hear
yeah,
me
I can
now?
Hear you. I can hear you. Yep. I can
All right,
hear
cool.
You.
So yep. anyway, before I get droned again, there's a couple of trails that I'd like to do up here as far as hiking. One is the North Country Trail, and I think that goes probably about a 4 or 5 day trip. It covers an awful lot of ground. I know part of the area that it goes through, and it's a pretty heavy duty area. I've come across the trail in some very remote places. But the thing is, and you know this from doing your trip, when you're out on a 4 or 5 day trip, you have to be careful exactly what you take with you.
Oh yeah.
Because let's face it, when you're carrying a full pack, the weight starts to add up. I mean, it's like going to Walmart and buying a bunch of $3, $4, and $5 stuff, and once you fill up the shopping cart with a bunch of that cheap stuff, it adds up to a lot of money. Well, with your equipment and the food and everything that you take with you, that adds up to a lot of weight, and you got to carry that.
Right. Yeah.
And that makes for a very difficult day.
Yeah, it certainly can, for sure. And if you're hiking in the mountains and you have, basically the trip that I took, I mean, and it was like, again, it was a very short, you know, just a weekend thing. We were hiking, basically increasing in elevation over the course of about 4 miles, and to where I think we ended up at about 11,000 feet.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about a bit of a lack of oxygen in addition to the challenge of carrying, you know, 30 to possibly 35 pounds going up. And I hadn't done that in a while. And I did enjoy the challenge of it on the way down. And I have I had plenty of like injuries, bumps and bruises and scratches and stuff like that.
Blisters.
And actually no blisters. My feet were fine. And I hiked up, and I want to try to do a lot more hiking with minimal footwear. I think it's probably better for your feet, you know, and, but
you mean,
but anyway,
with like Vibrams or something?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I wore. Chacos on the way up, and those are sandals with a Vibram sole. They're actually not that minimal. It's a pretty thick sole. But I did hike down with regular hiking boots, and but I think the next time I do a backpacking trip, I'm just gonna wear trail runners, and see how that goes. But I think it's probably a lot better for your feet. I read some articles, and I'm not exactly. I mean, it's basically it's teaching your feet to do what they were really intended to do, and that's to move, and to feel where you're stepping, and when you have huge hiking boots on and everything, that you know your feet aren't really able to move that much, and you can't really feel where your feet are going, and I mean, they do provide stability, but your feet are not getting much exercise, and. But anyway, so yeah, I'm going to try that next time. But on the way down, I slipped and fell on some gravel. And just so happens that what was there for my hand when my hand went down to catch myself was a sticker bush. And my right hand is still, the palm of my hand is still filled with stickers from that. Because it was, I was not going to take tweezers and pick every single sticker out, but I feel like they'll eventually come out on their own. And it appears that Lou's been droned once more.
Fiend phone.
And Lou, you back? You back?
I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Could you? Yeah. Did you catch the last bits of what I said?
Well, everything you said. I was responding back. You mean? And you still have those stickers there?
I do.
So, but anyway, I have some friends that have tried the Vibrams, and I haven't tried them myself. But was it after doing like a short walk because you're not used to use what they complained about getting sore muscles in their legs? Is that also?
Oh yeah, my legs were definitely actually. You know what, my legs were tired. That day, particularly after hiking up in elevation, but they weren't sore the next day. Surprisingly, I thought they would be, but I don't know. I mean, it was actually a really good experience, but yeah, it seemed like it was taking forever to get there, and after hiking for that long and. Hiking higher in elevation and. Yeah, I was tired. I was ready to be done at that point. But it was still a lot of fun, and you don't see the stars anywhere else like you see them in places like that, and that was when the Perseid meteor showers were going on, and it was insanely beautiful, and so I guess we got to say goodbye to Lou again. Or no, he's back. Lou's back. You're just in and out.
What were your sleeping arrangements? Were you in a tent, hammock? What were you doing?
Tent. The tent that I have is a 2-person tent, and it could be lighter. It's not specifically a backpacking tent, but it suffices. It's a pretty small tent. I'll be bringing that to Liberty Fest actually, and I had one of those really small like Therm-a-Rest type air mattress things that kind of self inflates, and a sleeping bag that's the down sleeping bag that is definitely not warm enough on its own for sure.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking for a hiking trip: getting a hammock, and they have hammocks that have mosquito nets attached to them. So you get the hammock with the mosquito net, and then
like a bivy kind of situation.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, you also get a rain fly that goes right over the top of it.
Yeah.
And there's a lightweight sleeping bag. I don't know what the material is, and is. I don't think it's down. I think it's some sort of synthetic material. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's supposed to be rated for 40 degrees Fahrenheit, so cold weather sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Or cool weather.
Yeah, that's cool weather. That's definitely like more of a 2-season bag. Like the bag I have is rated to 24, and women tend to sleep colder than men. For me, even with the rating of 24, and it did not get that cold, I was freezing. Like you probably want to go warmer if you can. And down's your best bet. Like I don't know if it's waterproof down, but at least water resistant down. Nowadays, like back when I was backpacking before, I don't think that they had come out with that yet. And if they had, whoever they are, the people that come up with this gear, it was like beyond my financial reach. But you know, technology, as time goes on, you know, it gets cheaper. So.
Well, I'm thinking of weight and space in the backpack. So
yeah.
For me, that lightweight sleeping bag, because it covers, it takes up very little space. It doesn't weigh very much. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a good investment. I think it's like $40 at Wally World. And with the hammock, there you eliminate the need for a tent. You eliminate the need for a foam mattress pad, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. Something that might be a good idea would be to put a poncho liner underneath the sleeping bag, mm-hmm. to give you a little bit more insulation between
right.
your body and the bottom of the hammock.
Yeah,
because when you have that tight contact like that, you get a lot colder. But
yeah,
I generally don't work. Cold doesn't bother me too much, so that's not really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be a little bit cooler than hotter, definitely. Like this weekend, I'm not gonna have air conditioning available to me in the camper because I won't have the proper electrical hookup. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna have the fans going and everything else, and I do not do well in the heat.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely don't do well when it's, I don't know. I'm definitely a fair weather kind of girl. Like it's gotta be, you know, mild to moderate temperatures.
Now,
so not too hot, not too cold.
What did you guys use what'd you take with you for food on the trip?
The like backpacking, food that you can get, like the freeze dried.
Oh, like the Mountain Home or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah. Or Backpacker's Pantry is another brand. And it's really not bad. We had for dinner pad thai, and it was like, yeah, it was edible for sure. And especially after, you know, like a long strenuous hike like that, it was welcome for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you also have snacks, obviously trail mix and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah. So something that's that I want to try doing. And I'm going to need like a, I'm going to need a dehydrator, and then I'm also going to need a vacuum sealer. Mm-hmm. What I want to
do it yourself,
Yeah. Well, what I want to do is I want to make up little stews or mm-hmm. soups. And mm-hmm. what you can do is you can get like dry dehydrated vegetables, so dried zucchini, stuff like that. Little pieces of the little round pasta that goes in minestrone soup, and you can make up a minestrone soup. So you mm-hmm. dry out all your vegetables, you put your seasonings in there, and yeah. So I can't remember if you have like a beef base or chicken base in there or something like that. But anyway, you dehydrate
probably whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're doing a stew, then you could, you know, definitely use the different like beef or chicken base, but just put that stuff in there together, vacuum seal it. It only weighs a couple of ounces, and mm-hmm. you could just fire it on up, put in the pot and slow cook it, and mm-hmm. you'll be back. You'll have a meal.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier as you were being taken out, something about a postal. Like the post office was,
Lysander Spooner had a letter delivery service.
I believe
it was called the American Mail Letter Carrier Company or something like that. And he was competing against the post office and doing quite well, so they had him put out of business because
right, of course, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I knew that, but.
We'll be back for the final segment.
You're listening to the final droning with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Meow meow. Meow meow.
Woof, woof.
So I'm gonna be seeing you on Friday. Yay.
Yes.
At Liberty Fest.
So because I keep getting drowned, tell everybody what they can expect at Liberty Fest, what your experiences have been, and what you are expecting this trip.
Okay, so my overall experience, the way that I would describe Liberty Fest is basically what you said earlier. You called it like a little slice of heaven, or like a little slice of lib pear. That's pretty much how I would describe it. I've been to Pork Fest the same number of times, and I still definitely prefer Liberty Fest. It's, I like the venue a lot. I love the Circle Pine Center. It's beautiful. And there's a lake that you can swim in, and, they have like little canoes and that, and kayaks and stuff like that. And everybody there is just cool. I mean, all the people, the anarchists from Michigan are my favorite anarchists. definitely. I feel way more, I guess, at home. And it's a more intimate setting. I think there's probably going to be a lot more people there this year, but that's okay as long as it doesn't get too big. And then it might have to, there might have to be a, I don't know.
A central planning committee?
Yeah. Let's hope not. I don't know. Yeah, it's just, the talks. I mean, the last couple of years, I hadn't paid all that much attention to the different, I guess, talks going on. I've just been kind of more there just to hang out with people and, the first year we did a Freedom Fiend show from there. Yep. That was pretty fun. And I know that this year, I think a couple of shows are going to happen. Not the Fiends, but
Liberty Under Attack.
Yeah, and so that'll be fun. Yeah,
They'll be recording a couple episodes of Anarchy Roundtable, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, there's definitely some things there that are going on this year that I'm interested in attending. I'm hoping to make it there in time to go to the what is it? It's Mary's. What's that called? It's
Mary's Country Critters or something like
Mary's
that.
Mary's
like
Country Critters. Zoo. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping to make it there in time to go to that because I wasn't there in time to do it last year, and I love critters, so that will be fun. And I know there's goats there, but you're not supposed to pet them or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's goats at the Circle Pine Center, but this is like a whole separate thing. I don't know, it's just fun. The people are cool. I felt, you know, very much at home, and I expect to feel that way again this year. You know, I'm hoping to definitely meet some new people and hang out with some old people.
Yes. Speaking of old people, Randy, the Liberty Grandpa, will be there.
Yeah. He's been there. He's been there every year, I think. He was there last year, right?
He wasn't at the first one.
Yeah, he wasn't at the first one. He's been at all the ones I've been to. So right. He was there last year and the year before. Great guy. I'm looking forward to seeing him too. I haven't done show with him for a while. Oh yeah, Jeremy's going to be there. Yeah, Jeremy's going to be there. Somebody was asking me what fiends were going to be there, and I think it's just the four of us, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
and
it'll be a full squirm.
there's a sometime fiend that'll be there. Friend of the show, Prof. CJ.
Oh, yeah,
From the Dangerous History Podcast, we'll be doing a presentation.
Oh, that's right, yeah, and I'll get to meet him in real life, too.
So. And we will have a new longest distance traveler there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. How do you pronounce his name? Let's just call him Peter. Ole? Okay. Yeah, he'll be coming from, he lives in Bali. But he's actually originally from Norway.
He's Norwegian and lives in Asia.
Yeah.
And he's coming to Liberty Fest.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Get to meet him in real life, too.
So if anybody wants to break that record, they're going to have to come here from Alpha Centauri. See you in 8.4 years.
Right.
For you people in Alpha Centauri or aliens there, go to mplfest.org to get your tickets.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just going to... Yeah, I was asked if I was going to do a talk, and I was like, nope, I'm just going to come chill with my anarchy homies. Mm-hmm. And,
I look forward to seeing you again.